For more than 40 years, a small, irreverent magazine called The Realist has been making fun of the American establishment and also taking pot shots at the left. The Realist was founded by Paul Krassner, who went on to organize the Yippies with Abbie Hoffman and other 1960s radicals. Krassner has decided to stop putting out The Realist. The final issue has just been published. From member station KCRW in Santa Monica, California, John Kalish has a profile of the man who calls himself an investigative satirist.
Just before he moved out of Los Angeles a few months ago, 68-year-old Paul Krassner went through his T-shirt collection.
This was given to me, covert high school. I thought that had a nice kind of CIA ring to it. Somebody gave this to me at the Republican convention in Philadelphia. It's bushoncrack.com. This is an original Yippie T-shirt from 1968. I probably could sell that on eBay, huh?
Co-founding the Yippies was just one stop in Krassner's long, strange trip of a life. At the age of six, Krassner was a violin prodigy playing in Carnegie Hall. He says he became a teenage atheist after the U.S. dropped atomic bombs on Japan. Krassner dropped out of college, 3 credits short of a business degree. He wrote for Mad Magazine, edited Lenny Bruce's autobiography, and served briefly as editor of Hustler magazine in the late 1970s, an opportunity Krassner calls too absurd to refuse. For most of that time, Krassner was also editing and publishing The Realist.
When I started, there was no counterculture. I felt like the only Martian on the block. And The Realist served to show that, you know, there was a Martian community.
When the first issue came out, Krassner was 26 years old. The magazine began as a slim 8.5 by 11 inch newsprint monthly. It ran pieces by Madeline Murray O'Hare about her battle against Bible readings in public school, Marvin Kittman's column on advertising hype, a Richard Pryor screenplay on racism in the Army, and an essay by Margot St. James on the rights of prostitutes. One of the first subscribers was the late Steve Allen.
The Realist was a free-swinging, free-thinking periodical, which stimulated my own thinking. I remember being impressed by the courage that it took to put out such a publication.
At its peak circulation in 1967, 100,000 people agreed with Allen. That was also the year The Realist ran a piece called The Parts That Were Left Out of the Kennedy Book. The article purported to be material removed from William Manchester's account of the JFK assassination and contained an outrageous section involving the slain president's corpse.
The Realist has had a tradition of never labeling an article as satire or journalism because I never wanted to deprive the reader of the satisfaction of discerning for themselves whether something was true or a satirical extension of the truth.
The same issue carried a double-page illustration called The Disneyland Memorial Orgy, depicting Donald Duck, Goofy, and the rest of the Disney gang in compromising positions. Years later, a similar cartoon featuring characters from the comic strip Peanuts appeared after Charles Schulz died. Steve Allen thought Krassner had crossed a line.
If what you do for a living is shock people, and Paul's in that category, occasionally you may try a little hard to shock them and succeed in that regard, but risk having them miss the point or simply be on the wrong side of an issue. People who live by daring propriety, by challenging commonly held views, can fall into some bad habits. If you haven't shocked the world within the last 2 weeks, you'll sit down and think, now what can I say that is worse?
Krassner says readers knew what to expect. He continued to print whatever he wanted, and the magazine, which existed solely on subscriptions, continued to lose money.
I've been lucky because I've had no one to answer to. No advertisers, no editorial board, not even the readers in the sense that they trust me not to be concerned about offending them.
Just a few years after he published the first issue of The Realist, Krassner took his humor to the stage, debuting at New York's famed Village Gate. He also performed at Town Hall, and some 30 years later, at the age of 63, released his first comedy album.
I've lived in California since 1971. I was in New York recently, and people are kind of protecting their space, and they don't look at you in the eye or smile much. And I went into a grocery store and got some goodies, and the clerk, she doesn't even look up at me. She just rings up my purchase, and I said, okay, my mission on Earth today is to cheer her up. Because she's just sitting there looking sullen, who knows why. So I said to her, aren't you going to wish me to have a nice day? She looks up, she says, it's on the receipt.
Since that first CD, Krasner has recorded three more for Danny Goldberg, a leading record executive who first became a fan of Krasner's when he was a high school student in the 1960s.
He's got a cheerfulness about him, which is really unusual, juxtaposed to some of the very dark themes and dark times that he's been engaged with. And he's still got that puckish sense of humor, that ability to tweak the forbidden. And I enjoy the opportunity to give him an outlet. I consider it a real privilege.
There were five black delegates at the Republican convention, and they were all played by Eddie Murphy.
Krasner believes his irreverent brand of humor is no longer unusual in a world dominated by the internet, cable TV shows, and even some magazines able to pretty much say anything. So Krasner decided to put The Realist to bed for good.
The Realist has served its purpose, which essentially was to communicate without compromise. When I started in 1958, I was essentially a lone voice, and now irreverence has become an industry. So I feel that the torch has been passed on.
Paul Krasner and his wife Nancy Kane recently began a new life in a small desert town in Southern California. He plans to continue his freelance magazine work, and he has a couple of novels underway. One about a comedian who defends himself at a murder trial, another about a porn film made for senior citizens. For NPR News, I'm John Kalish in Los Angeles.